Following Christ is the greatest adventure for a man or woman to experience. True Christianity presents to us all kinds of twists and turns along the road of life, many of which we don't expect or don't see coming. And yet, as we follow Christ, we discover new horizons and new vistas and new opportunities before us as God develops our character and our faith. He was doing so for the disciples as well. And among the shocking things he would say to them is their life in following him must also involve some sacrifice. I want to tell you a little bit about the John Kenderdine family. They were ministering as missionaries in Cambodia. When, upon preparations for them to return to the States for furlough after 3 years ministering in Cambodia, I believe they were in the capital city of Cambodia, Phnom Penh, when they suffered a moto accident, a common form of transportation there, and Barbara, his wife, was killed in that moto accident, leaving the family without wife and without a mother for three kids. They didn't see that coming. They just went to serve Christ and to reach souls for Christ in Cambodia. And yet God called upon them to make a sacrifice that they were not anticipating having to make. David, in fact, tells us at times when we follow the Good Shepherd that sometimes we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 and verse number 4. We can't know that all that God is up to and things like this when they happen, but His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts, says Isaiah in chapter 55. But sometimes God asks us to make sacrifices. He asks us to leave some things behind that might get in the way. Now, I started a brief series I'm doing in the month of August last week by suggesting that when you follow Christ, which is our theme this year, that there's going to be some dangers along the way. And last week we talked about this danger. We talked about the danger of suffering. Today we're going to talk about this danger on the road of following Christ, this thing called sacrifice that sometimes God asks us to make for Him. In fact, that sacrifice, I believe, is summed up in a great way right here in Luke chapter 14, when Jesus three times says, "You cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to make a sacrifice." And He identifies three different kinds of sacrifices that I want you to see in the Scripture today. This is Luke chapter 14. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible. It's not on the screen. Look with me at Luke 14. And we want to begin in verse number 26. And the Bible says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." I'm going to ask you to bear with me and jump down to verse 33 of the text, where we see a third, this third repeated phrase, "He cannot be my disciple." So likewise, verse 33, "Whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, let's scratch our brains a little bit. We've talked about this earlier this year. What does the word disciple mean? A disciple is a follower, a learner, a student. And Jesus says, if you want to be a follower, you want to be my student, you're going to have to let some things go. And the first one he deals with, I'm going to go ahead and give you the outline today, you know, and then you can go to sleep on me, and then I can finish up the sermon, all right? I'm going to go ahead and give you the outline right up front, all right? He's asking us in verse 26 to sacrifice my family. At the end of verse 26 and into verse 27, he asks us to sacrifice my life. And finally, he asks me to sacrifice in verse 33 all things, whatever things might get in the way of following him. Now, that's the outline. God has asked us to sacrifice. As I thought about following Christ, we like to think about all the warm fuzzies we get following Christ. He's our good shepherd. He's got that rod and staff which protect us. Every now and again, he anoints our head with oil, David said in Psalm 23, and sometimes we just kind of see him as kind of reaching down and petting our head and kind of giving us a little rub down on the side. But following Christ has some dangers. There has some difficulties, some challenges to it. And so this is kind of a contrast to the way we started the year. We have to think about when I'm following Christ that I have to deal with, that I'm going to be challenged at times when I follow Him. And sometimes the journey is not going to be as easy as I anticipate. And I think the three things that we're going to talk about sacrificing today are three things that commonly get into the way of people serving Christ today. As a pastor, these things come up all the time. As reasons, or maybe the better way, excuses why I cannot serve Christ. So would you let me, or would you join me in looking at these three things? The first one I want to give you is my family. Jesus says in verse number 26, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. Sometimes Christ asks of us that we must sacrifice or not let get in the way our families. At first glance, the statement kind of seems more than shocking. I don't know that it shocks us the way it would have shocked the first century Jews, who were very family oriented and understood what the scripture said about honoring family. In fact, let's just walk down the three categories he gives us here. He gives us father and mother. And what does the scripture say about fathers and mother? Yeah, Exodus chapter 20 verse 12, honor your father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So I can see a bunch of Jews standing in the crowd and going, huh, this guy's just a little bit, we'd say, whacked out. It just, he's not altogether there. All right? Then he goes on and says, wife and children. There is no one dearer or close, there should be no one dearer or more close to you than your spouse. And so, husbands and wives, and yet, you know what? The scriptures teach about them. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, hate your wives. No, that's not the version we have, all right? It says, husbands, love your wives. All right? So, how do we reconcile what Jesus is saying here with what other scriptures seem to be saying the opposite thing? How about brothers and sisters? Any other family that you might have? Well, I remember 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, if any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Wait, I can't ignore my family. So some way in my mind, I'm not thinking of this word hate the same way that Jesus is thinking of hate. He wasn't teaching us to be hate mongers or to hate our family. He was teaching us something else. So what was he teaching? Well, I think we all understand the concept, don't we, that sometimes loves compete. Do you have competing loves in your life? I love my wife. I tell her that every now and again just so she doesn't forget. Hey, I love my kids too. I love my kids a lot. But sometimes those loves can compete. Let me throw out a hypothetical for you, all right? Husband says to his wife one evening, he says, honey, it's been a while since we've gone out for dinner. So tomorrow night I'm going to take you out to a really nice place. Maybe let's say it's the Olive Garden. Is that the next slide? Skip to that. That's where I am. Yeah, that is. Put the picture up. That's what I want. So he's going to take her out to Olive Garden the very next night. Next day he's working in the yard. Kids are out there. They're raking leaves or cutting grass. What are you guys doing? Raking stones here and picking up sticks and whatever. And boy, he's hot and sweaty and so are the kids. And so while he's working, he just says, hey kids, as soon as we get done this afternoon, we're all going to go out for ice cream. Uh-oh. He gets all done. It's about 4:30, 5 o'clock. He comes in. He's racing to get a shower done so that he can go out and have ice cream with the kids. Then his wife remembers and thinks he's getting ready to go out to dinner. Oh, honey, are you getting ready to go to dinner? What time are we leaving? And he has that moment that we've all had. I have just double booked myself. And there is no way I can get out of this gracefully. And so he thinks to himself, being a very good husband, that I have to keep my commitment to my wife. But if I do, my kids are going to think or maybe perceive
that I don't like them, or maybe even that I hate them. Competing loves, we've experienced that. And I think we can come to the conclusion, based on what Jesus is saying here in the text, He's not asking us to hate our family. In fact, the New Testament says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Oh, I'm supposed to love my enemies and hate my family? That isn't what Jesus is saying. He is saying, rather, and He does so in a shocking way, that when love competes, somebody's love has to win. And whose love has to win in your life if you want to be a disciple? Are we ready for that slide? Where is it? Hate. Where's that word? There it is. When loves compete, Christ wins. And I believe that's what Christ is teaching here. When it comes to family or Christ, in the end, I got to choose for Christ if I wish to be a disciple. Now, I'm thankful that many times that doesn't have to compete. Many times we can do things together as a family. I take my kids in ministry. They go with me everywhere. I'm out in the community during the week. We've gotten some new door hangers. And most mornings I've been out, I've taken a kid and he does one side of the street and I do the other one. And sometimes I go out and I knock on doors and I visit with people and I invite them to church, and I usually have a son standing right by me. And I got four of them to pick from. And we have a rotation and they all go through it. And they're out and we do things together, and that's okay because I get to talk about Jesus and I got a helper with me. And when we're not talking to someone else, I'm usually talking about Legos. I'm spending time in ministry with my family. They don't have to compete. Hey, but if it comes, push comes to shove, and I have to pick between one and the other, I'm going to pick for Christ. Because I'm a disciple, and He's my head, and He's my Lord, and He's the good shepherd, and I'm on His trail. This is not what we're hearing today. I think family's become a new idol for many people, even Christian people. Family first. I mean, for crying out loud, they want to sit at that church all the time. They got morning services and evening services and midweek services, and they got prayer fellowships. And they want to do a breakfast. And that's okay. You don't have to do everything. We don't expect you to do that here. But when push comes to shove, you ought to pick for Christ. Family has to go behind. Now, some of you, you've experienced that. Some of you came to Christ out of families who didn't believe the gospel, didn't you? Maybe Catholic families, maybe a cult of some kind, maybe no faith of any kind. And you came to Christ, and your family is like, what got hold of her? What in the... Does that mean she's not going to come to church with us anymore? Does that mean... You know, and sometimes in our pursuit of Christ, we do have to leave our family behind. And some of you have had to learn that the hard way. That's happened to you. That's a big commitment. I'm more concerned today, though, that the people who know better aren't making the choice to choose for Christ over family. Before I get to that, I'll tell you a story. Listening to a sermon when I like hanging door hangers for Jesus. This is not in the sermon notes. This is rabbit trail. You guys like rabbit trails? So I like hanging door hangers because I can do something for Jesus. I got my MP3 player and I can listen to sermons and be edified. And at the same time, I'm walking and I'm exercising. There are few times in a man's life when he can do three things at the same time without getting confused. It's just a really neat feeling. Now, my wife does that every day, but I only do that every now and again. Anyway, that was the rabbit trail. So I was listening to this sermon. I heard about Dick Fellers. Is that coming up? I think that's the next slide. Oh, I didn't tell you about Christ and His family? Oh. You know, this happens when I don't look at my notes. I just get going. The choice that Christ is asking you to make, family versus Him, is the same kind of choice He had to make. I'll just make it quick. Remember, his mother and brothers came to Him one time while He was ministering, and they were standing on the outside, couldn't get in, and someone relayed the message, Hey, Master, your mom and brothers are outside, want to see you. And remember what He says? He answered them saying, verse 33, who is my mother and my brethren? He looked round about on them which sat about Him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. He made a choice that day, right? I'm going to do the will of my Father first, and family comes second. Are you making that kind of conscious choice in your life? Some people have to make that choice. Dick Fellers, next slide. Sacrifice and closest loves. This is the only picture I could find. This must be one of his daughters. I'm not certain, but I grabbed it quick off the internet this morning. Dick Fellers used to pastor the Emmanuel Bible Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. I believe he planted another church over around Avondale or Arrowhead, west of Phoenix, called Cross Point. I just listened to him on MP3. That was the door hanger thing. That's the connect, right? How we're getting to Dick Fellers. You don't know him, and I don't really know him, but okay. He's a university student. He's in his junior year. He's an accounting major. He's twisted up on the inside that thinks that maybe God wants him to do something different with his life. And he's struggling with it. He's almost finished with an accounting degree. And now you want me to change my major. Some of you have been there. His life direction changes. And he's wrestling with it. And finally, in a moment in the dorm, he finally surrenders. Okay, God, if you really want me to preach, I'll just submit to that. And I'm willing, if you want, to give up accounting and to preach your word. He felt like this great weight that he'd been struggling with internally, and some of you have been there, was gone for the first time. He couldn't wait to tell his fiancée. So he met her at the snack shop. And he said, honey, and they're sitting at a table in the snack shop. I just want to tell you what God's done in my life. I've been training all this time for accounting, but God's been dealing with me that maybe that's not the right direction. And just last night in the dorm, I surrendered to preach His Word and to do whatever He might ask me along that way. And these were her words. God might have called you, but He didn't call me. She took the ring off her finger, put it down on the table, and walked out, and he never saw her again. Ouch. Now, I know they weren't family yet, but that's where it was tracking, and choosing to follow Christ meant that he had to give up something very close to him. Would you be willing to make that sacrifice? Those who follow Christ fully have to sacrifice for Him deeply. And that's the point of the message. But you know, I would like to think that you would have the passion in your heart to make that decision, that Christ would be more important to you than family if need be. Not that you're trying to push your family away. But I am concerned, and I mentioned a moment ago when I was getting all messed up in my outline, that I'm more concerned today with families who know better, who are putting their family in front of God. And I'm out in the community, and right now I have on my mind, since they're not here in the room, I can talk about them today. I'm not going to give you their name, but I was visiting in the community, doing visits, following up new move-ins. And the guy has assured me twice I've been to his house. Yeah, we're all believers here. My wife, myself, my kids. We are just, you know what? Life is just so full. I have work all week long. Then we have ball practices in the evening. And on Saturday, it's the big game. And by Sunday's the only day we have to kind of get away from it all and just spend some time together with the family. And this is a problem today. And the problem just isn't out there. I'd expect that from the pagans. I expect that from people who don't know Christ. But it's Christian people talking to me like that. And some people are making an excuse. Well, yeah, I know I need to be at church. So they kind of make a compromise. 2 weeks in a month we're at church. And 2 weeks a month we'll be with family. And we'll alternate every other week. Friends, who is more important? Are you following? Or are you just playing? If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to follow Him fully and completely. Then you're going to make sacrifices for Him regularly. And among those sacrifices, it might involve your family. Now, I'm not talking about putting them in the toilet or treating them miserably or being mean to them or harsh in your words. I'm just trying to say, back to that earlier story, when loves compete, who wins? I hope it for you, Christ wins. Christ wins. If you're going to follow Christ completely, you must make sacrifices regularly. A second sacrifice Jesus calls our attention to in the text is Luke 14, verse 26. He says, "Yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Our life itself can get in the way of following Christ. Do you ever have conversations with your wife like I have? Honey, we could get something done in life if life didn't itself take so much time. It feels like all I'm doing is running to the grocery store, or paying bills, or fixing something my kids have broken, or taking my car to the shop. I barely have enough money left over after I do all this living to do any kind of anything fun or anything for Jesus. You know how it is. Life is just so full. Life often gets in the way of us serving Christ. But I don't think that's the way Jesus is talking about here, though that's true. I think some people make a commitment to their own dreams and aspirations and where they're going and goal setting, that their life and their agenda is so important that Christ can't get in between. I've already decided I'm going to be an accountant. My dad was an accountant. His dad was an accountant. It's been three generations. I'm not messing it up. So your brain tracks just one way. This is the only way I can do things. So we won't follow Christ fully because we're not really willing to sacrifice the direction of our life to whatever Christ might have for it. I'll tell you about a family. I have not heard it pronounced. Harima? I don't know if that's accurate or not. You take your best guess. John and his wife were talking, felt like they were investing too much in the world, and felt like God wanted them to do more with their life, so they sold their possessions, and they moved to Iran. He began coaching baseball. I guess he had a specialty in that. I don't know the whole story. I just read a snippet about his life. They go to Iran, and he's coaching baseball, but looking for opportunities on Iran to plant seeds for Christ. Iran would be considered a restricted access nation, an RAN. Have you heard that before? All right? So you can't go in under a missionary visa. You have to go in under some occupation. Thank God there are people around the world today, right now, in Saudi Arabia and in Syria and in Iraq and Iran and in Pakistan, they're doing this kind of thing. They're there for Jesus under some of their teaching. They're involved in technology. This guy was doing baseball. He's making Christ known. And the Lord had given him a few opportunities to talk with young men about Christ. And he's just sowing seeds. One day, a couple of men show up to one of the practices and confront John directly and say, "Are you a Christian?" Ooh, he's in a foreign country. What do you say? Through the interpreter, or the translator, the imam, one of the religious leaders in the Muslim faith, asked him if he was a Christian. He confessed that he was, and it gave him a brief opportunity in front of his whole team to kind of witness for Christ. That kind of wrapped up, and the imam and his translator went away, but later that day, the translator called John on the phone and said, "John, the imam would like to meet with you in the park tonight at midnight." What are you thinking? You're probably thinking the same thing I am. There isn't going to be much left of John to talk about the next day. That's exactly what he was thinking. He did not want to go to the park. So he's wrestling all day with this. From the time of the call till the evening and midnight. And he thought, you know what, I'm going to walk into that park, it's going to be dark, a bunch of guys are going to get me, and I'm never going to be seen or heard from again. But then he remembered later in the day that in Iran, at midnight, people are out everywhere. At least there'll be a lot of witnesses. So for some reason, he grabbed his coat a few minutes before midnight and he walked down toward the park. At the entrance to the park, the translator for the imam met him and led him back to a park bench where the imam was seated waiting for him. John sat down on the bench and asked why he wanted to see him. And the imam explained, "I want to know more about your Jesus." And over an hour later, after answering the Iman's questions, the Iman bowed his head and received Jesus Christ as Savior on a park bench in the middle of the night in Iran. Sometimes, no, all the time, we need to hold our life loosely so that we can serve Christ fully. I tell you, that story turned out positive, but not all of them have. But everybody who went into that park trusting Christ and doing His will is a hero in God's eyes and will be honored for eternity because he put Christ above his life. Is your life getting in the way of serving Christ? We make all kinds of excuses, don't we, today? Well, I know I should, or yeah, I really should be involved in evangelism, or yeah, I should be sharing my faith, but I just... We're letting our life get in the way of service for Christ. And it's a problem. I want to talk to young people. We got several young people here. Teenage age. Got your whole life ahead of you. Great opportunities. But already some of you are thinking, man, what job requires the least amount of work and the highest amount of pay? Because that's the job I want. And you're already anticipating living the American dream and getting to a certain point. Maybe you'll be a millionaire by the time you're 40 or whatever. And would to God that we get a vision and a passion about following Christ here. It isn't about living the American dream. It's about living His dream. And what is God's dream for you, young person? Is it for you just to go out and make money and buy a house and have two cars to put in that garage? Or is it rather for you to invest yourself in the kingdom of God? Time is running out. We don't have enough young people responding. Why do we have to plead with people to serve Christ? Everybody should be on board and say, how can I work it into my schedule? It's my life. Yeah, it's your life. But Jesus gave His whole life for you. Why won't you lay down your life for Him? This is the plea, the passion of our Savior, that He would have some disciples, some follower learners who get on board and be saying, yea, and if it required my own life, if I have to go and die on a cross just like Jesus did, it's okay, because it's all about Him. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15. He died for all. Did He die for you? Are you a believer? Did He shed His blood to cleanse away your sins? Are you in Christ? Well, if that's the case, then you should no longer henceforth live unto yourself. You should live for the One who died and rose again for you. That's what the Scripture says. Young person, have you embraced that? What are your goals? Do they include Christ? Hey, if I'm going to follow Him and be a true follower, if I'm going to live true Christianity, it involves sacrifices. And my family's not going to get in the way. My life isn't going to get in the way. And number three, my things. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you who doesn't forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So if we're going to follow Christ fully, we're going to have to sacrifice deeply. Here Jesus says that you must forsake all that you have. Things certainly compete today with our commitment to Christ. At no time in history has the church been strapped down by its wealth the way it is today. Most in history have lived in relative poverty, while a handful of nobles, princes, and lords lived in luxury. Capitalism, the American way, changed that. Most here live better than kings did two or three centuries ago. But what an awesome temptation. The very things we enjoy are now getting in the way of our service for Christ. So let's talk about things that get in the way, like tangible things. Hey, if you're a parent, you're struggling with this. If you're not, you should be. I'm raising a bunch of materialists in my house. Consumerism and media and marketing markets every age. And my kid, I got to have this. And they're, before it even comes out, they know it's coming out. And it's going to be out on this date. And I got to have it. Wish I could be free of that kind of bondage. But it's not just little people that are thinking this way. We got big people that think this way too, don't we? Only now we have more money to spend on our toys. So it's not just about having one home. a roof over the head for my family. I can have two homes. Or maybe I could have a summer home in San Diego on the coast. We need to take up an offering for that today. I need one. It's not enough just to have one car in the garage. I need to have two. And once I get the cars in the garage, then I need something fun to do. I need an RV or a boat or maybe a couple of those jet skis to pull behind. And then I can pay storage on them down at the storage center for the times I'm not using them. We came, we saw, we charged our way to happiness. Now those things enslave us. They fill our homes, control how we spend our income, demand much more maintenance than we ever anticipated when we bought them. Instead of owning things, our things own us. Have you sensed how you're suffocating under your stuff? Because of things, we hardly have room for Christ. Our debt keeps us from giving a regular tithe to the Lord. The extra room that we could use to house the missionary who's coming in next weekend is filled with more stuff that we don't know what to do with. We want to attend God's house. It's just that we have so much to do around our own house. Things are wonderful tools, but horrible masters. Are things keeping you from following Christ? Not just tangible things. I think we get that pretty easily, but intangible things as well. I want you to look back. He doesn't actually say the word things. He who doesn't forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. It's not just our possessions, but the things that possess our heart that keep us from serving Christ. So I'm talking about things that you can't really put a dollar value to, or you can't quantify, and it's not a concrete thing somewhere in the garage or in your house, but it's a love of your heart. It's a desire maybe for security, financial security perhaps, or peace, or a certain level of status in society. These are intangible things, but you hold on to them in such a way that they really derail you from following Christ, and this does happen. My things get in the way. It was interesting to me, I didn't read the passage earlier, but we know this is the counting the cost passage. Because this builder, verse 28, let's look at that. It's not on the screen, so you're going to need to look at your text. Luke 14, verse 28, he says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, and saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Now that builder, I think both of these stories, I'll get to the second one in a moment, deal with sacrifice. In order for the builder to finish his building, he has to sacrifice. What does he have to sacrifice? Money. He could buy other things, but if he's going to finish the building, he's got to put his funds there. This is an illustration of a tangible asset that must be sacrificed. Now look at the second example. This is the king, verse 31. "But what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage or an ambassador and desires conditions of peace." The king, second example, he has to sacrifice too. But now he's not sacrificing a commodity. He's actually choosing not to sacrifice his soldiers in a battle that he cannot win. But because he invites conditions of peace, he has to sacrifice the objective that he wanted, which was protecting his territory and not allowing the enemy to make the demands of peace. So the commodity here is intangible. It's peace and it's maybe territory, but I think there's a segue here to what I'm trying to get across. There are sacrifices that we must make tangibly. There are also intangible sacrifices, things that we must sacrifice because they get in the way. Friend, is there something in your life that's so close to your heart that if Christ asked you to do something today or to go somewhere for Him, you wouldn't do it? And if that is so important, then it's an idol of your heart. You need to repent and ask God to get it out of there so that you will follow the Good Shepherd all the way down the road, that you'll make the sacrifices that you need to make. Hey, this is the point of the message. If you're going to follow Christ completely, you've got to make regular sacrifices for Him. We've talked about three today. My family, my life, my things. Any of those can get in the way of serving Christ. But if you really love Christ, none of them would get in the way of Him. I'll finish by telling you about a missionary nurse to Afghanistan. She was serving Christ in Afghanistan. This must be some years ago. I don't know how recent the story was. Stuart Briscoe was a pastor. He was visiting Edinburgh, and he got in the story because he's sitting in the service, and a young lady's giving her testimony. She's explaining that she's been a missionary, and she's back here because she came back to ask the leadership if she could marry a certain young man. She had gone to Kabul as a missionary nurse, and while she was there, she met a young man, and they fell in love. And he asked to marry her. But she told him, I really have to go back and ask the leadership of my church first, because if I agree to marry you, that will change my agreement with the leadership, which was to go to be a missionary to these people. So she flew back to talk to the leadership. Once he found out, he got on the very next plane and said, I'm going to go back and talk to him too. And so they were both back there, sitting in the service. Stuart Briscoe didn't know that. So after she got done giving her testimony, he leaned over and asked her, he said, hey, who's that man over there with the funny-looking smile on his face? And she said, that's the guy. You know, isn't that the way it is with lovers? They chase one another around wherever they go. And if you really love Christ, you'll be chasing Him around wherever He goes. And whatever sacrifice He would ever ask you to make, it would never be too great. You would do it because you really love Him. I hope that's where you are. And if you aren't, I hope you'll get back on the right path and follow Christ completely today. Shall we pray?